Welcome to Ruby Writer's Pegging Paradise, podcast number 27, on December 17th, 2012. Well, many of you really enjoyed last week's podcast, both hearing from the woman who has the ass tease for her boyfriend, who actually came to the blog and commented, which was wonderful, and a lot of you also really enjoyed my friend's story, which caused at least one driving highway erection that I know of. Be careful where you listen to these podcasts, people. I'm really glad that so many of you enjoyed podcast number 26, so let's move on to podcast number 27. I am not going to talk about pegging yet. I'm going to talk about internet dating, so indulge me a little. Again, the subject of lying about one's age rears its ugly head. I've run into a number of them recently. First, there's the excuse of, oh, I don't look my age, and I'm more active or I'm more healthy than the majority of people my age, so I want to be included in the searches of people younger than me because that's who I feel I would match best with. And I really want to be with a younger woman, but I know that most women won't be looking for an older man in their search results. Okay, so like, theoretically, you come up in her search because she is searching for men younger than you are. You two connect and you hit it off. At what point do you tell her that you lied? And why would she believe anything else you say after that? If you would lie about your age, why would you not lie about other things too? And if you're willing to compromise your integrity and meet her under false pretenses in order for you to get what you want, then, well, that's all I have to say is that's really important information for what you might be willing to do in the future. You know, I've heard all the justifications. It's just a trivial little white lie. Well, perhaps to some people it is, but not to me. How about, there are so many people, especially women, who lie about their age on dating sites. Pretty much everybody does it. Okay, to that one I say this. I find it sad to think that so many people out there are willing to pretend to be what they are not in order to attract a partner. Because think about this. What do you do when that part that you pretended about might be one of the main things that attracted them to you to begin with? You're fucked. Am I right? Here's another reason. There are so many people who have such judgments about age. Okay. Yeah, there are. And you would want to be with one of those people who are really judgmental about age because? And my last one. It's the only way to pull in the younger people in search results. Well, I agree, it is. So now you have younger people who are looking for something that you are not, and pretending to be. It just all totally screws with my head, obviously, which is why I'm talking about this. I still maintain that starting a relationship with a lie is a really poor beginning. I fit into that category of a person who looks and acts much younger than I am. I look at a lot of the men who approach me, and, you know, I can tell that their world pretty much consists solely of sedentary choices, and their health is not all that good, and that they wouldn't be compatible with the way that I live my life. But on my profile, my age range is 40 to 60, and I'm 55. So am I playing the odds in a direction that doesn't behoove me and probably it makes it a little bit harder? Perhaps, if it's really true that the majority of people out there lie, but that's still what I'm choosing to do. Okay, but wait. There's more, right? There's always more. Here's another little dating website story. So this website I'm on now has a lot of questions that you answer, and then they compare your answers and predict how good of a match you're going to be with other people. And like most dating sites, they suggest matches for you periodically. And I always wonder how they choose those matches, especially after the one I got today. This guy had a beautiful smile and a spark that came through in the picture, so I checked out his profile. And I scanned his questions, and I discovered a whole bunch of information. First of all, that he thinks homosexuality is a sin. He has opposite political views from me completely. Inauspicious beginnings, yes, but I persisted just for the fun of it. Let's see, what else did I find out? He would prefer to have sex with the lights off. He does not need to sleep with a woman before marrying her. Whoa, that's a big one. And in fact, when asked the question, after beginning dating, how long would it take before you have sex with the person you're dating? You can put a little comment in after your answer. You can write a little comment. And he wrote, only after the wedding. Hi, yay, yay. And yet, check out this last question. He answers this question, if you're in a relationship you expect will last for the rest of your life, is it important to you that it be the most satisfying sexual relationship you have ever had? He answered that with, yes. Oh, good luck with that one, sir. You are really playing bad odds there. And as far as the dating site, what the heck, dating site? Were the computers smoking pot that night? Or maybe you guys were just trying to make sure I was paying attention? Who knows? But wow, yeah, that was a very interesting supposed match to come across. And going further with that whole belief that some people have, usually because of religious beliefs or it's religious in nature, that you should abstain from sex with someone until you're married to them. This is what I have to say about that. In my internet travels, I run across way too many stories about couples who did that, who waited until they got married to have sex, and they discovered way too late in the game that their sex drives were incompatible. Oh, and it's very, very sad to run across people like that, because then they feel really trapped. And a lot of times, if they are very conservative and religious, they feel like they have to stay there for the kids and they can't get divorced. And they're just tortured people. Their libidos are not satisfied, or maybe their partner has a much higher libido than them and they're not happy in that the other direction. The whole point is that they don't match. It just isn't working. As a contrast, there was a lovely post yesterday on Reddit, in the Reddit sex group, from a man who'd been married 23 years. And he said they have sex every day. And usually the type of sex they have the majority of the time, he described quite specifically as kind of a sleepy, lazy quickie in the morning with him spooning her from behind. He said he usually comes pretty quickly, in 5 minutes or less. And she doesn't come at all during those times because she doesn't come with vaginal penetration anyway. But that works perfectly for both of them. And she has reassured him until he finally believes her that it's okay if she doesn't come during those times. And that they both love the connection that they get from that every morning. And she's perfectly happy with having fewer orgasms because she gets hers when they spend more time on it and they take time for oral. She has much stronger orgasms when he gives her oral. And they're both really happy with this arrangement. So the guy got on Reddit and told his story because he wanted to show people that, you know, different things can work. And not all 23-year marriages have to have the dead bedroom. He praised the good sense he had to determine their compatibility sexually before getting married. He said that she was very highly sexed, and he really appreciated that about her, and that he told this story to illustrate that long-term marriage doesn't have to be sexless, and it also doesn't have to look like anything specific, because when you think about it, okay, they have sex and she doesn't come. Well, that's one of the first places people would object, or he comes really quickly. That's another place that people might object to in terms of looking at things traditionally, or, you know, put a lot of shoulds on things. And if that's what works for them, that's awesome. He comes fast. She doesn't come. Sounds like a problem. Not even. And they're still having sex every day after 23 years of marriage, even though they have kids and jobs. That sounds like an amazing success story to me. And it's a great example of thinking outside the box. You know, you do what works and you talk about what works and you don't try and live up to what other people say that you should do. You find what works for you. I really, really enjoyed that story. And I love how it segued into the guy who thinks he's going to wait until marriage. Have fun with that, sir. Of course, it's quite possible that he's had so few sexual relationships in his life that maybe that will be the most satisfying. All right, moving right along here. Here's a letter. I just discovered your, I just discovered your podcast a week or so ago, and I've been rapt. Your smooth voice and amazing, great time to talk about my smooth voice, and amazing knowledge about my favorite subject is a great accompaniment for when the toys come out. I'm a fairly experienced pegger. I've got 7 toys of my own. It's just really encouraging to know there are women out there with your enthusiasm for it. Actually, I was wondering, can you recommend any good vibrating anal toys for me? The collection feels like it needs to grow. Keep up the work and happy pegging. Well, sir, you have a lot of choices, actually. There are a fair amount of vibrating prostate massagers out there. The first manufacturer I think of usually is Neros. They have the Vice. It's gotten some pretty reviews. It's designed to stay in while you play with it. And it's a little pricey. It's about $149, I think. Then, you know, and I have to say, I didn't quite go through and research every single one of these in terms of price and things. I'll give you the information when I have it, but I'll give you all of the manufacturers and the names of these, and then you can look it up. But they do tend to be pretty pricey. The Lilo, which is another fabulous manufacturer, has the Billy, and this is designed to be handheld, and it's got all kinds of different vibrational patterns to see which one you like. And then Nexus makes a line of prostate massagers that vibrate, but there's a complication with the Nexus line. And that is that when they came out with prostate massagers, apparently something happened where the Aneros people filed a suit against them over a patent. It was a patent dispute. And when they settled it, basically Nexus said they were only going to sell a certain list of prostate massagers. And they would not sell them in the United States until 2016. They were selling whatever stock they had in the United States on hand, but I'm pretty sure that's gone because that was in 2011 that this settlement was reached. So I actually posted a blog post about this amazing looking prostate massager that actually had the end of it rotated a little bit. And it has since gotten some really good reviews, but I'm pretty sure you can only get it in the UK. Well, you can't get it in the U.S. I didn't test it out and try and have them ship it to me in the United States, but I'm suspecting that's not going to work. And Nexus makes a few of them, the Ridge Rider, the Revo, and the Vibro. And the Revo is the one that has the revolutions, right? That's the one that has the tip that swings around. What I did find was I found a thread about vibrating prostate massagers, of all places, in the Fleshlight forums that I'm going to link to because it's got some great feedback. And somebody asked, you know, what's a good prostate massager, a vibrating one, and a lot of guys weighed in on it. So I'm going to put that link there for you guys to take a look and read it. Other than the Nexus, there is also a cheaper line of products from Roxoff Limited, and it's sort of like, I call it the boys here. It's like Rude Boy, Cheeky Boy, Naughty Boy, a bunch of those. They are cheaper. They are still 100% silicone, and many of them are vibe equipped. The feedback on a fair number of these are that they don't stay in very well. So you need to do your homework and make sure of what you're buying, because certainly a toy that doesn't stay in well like that, it can make it worthless if it comes out every time in a moment of passion, or perhaps even worse, just before. But all these that I've mentioned are silicone. So do your homework and check the reviews. Where I usually go to check reviews is Amazon or Eden Fantasies. Both of those places will have reviews that you can find usually before you buy. So no matter where you buy, check the reviews in either of those places first and see what people who have to say about them, who are real people, not paid reviewers, or people who were sent the toy for free to review it. I like to read real reviews from real people. Sometimes the ones where they were sent the toy for free are good just because they're complete and thorough, but I still think they've got a little slant because they got sent this toy for free. And by the way, Aneros is having a sale. Most of their prostate massagers are on sale, but sadly not the only vibrating one that they sell, which is called the Vice. But I will put a link to that as well. All right, next letter. Recently, my wife and I tried pegging. She was reluctant at first, as she didn't get it. Then we watched a movie together, and it was off to the races. For a week, she pegged me every day, sometimes several times a day. To tell the truth, she was more into it than I was. Although I loved it, and I loved the aggressive and assertive sexual side it brought out of her. Then we got a bigger dildo, and the second or third time she used it on me, she pegged me so hard it was amazing. The next day, I was painfully constipated, and that took a week to get over. Now, nothing I suggest will bring her back to it. I was hoping suggestions, both on avoiding the constipation issues and drawing her back out. Thank you. All right, I gotta say here, and excuse me if I'm if I'm off base, but I just have to say this out loud. Sometimes I wonder if all the letters I get are real, because starting off pegging every day several times a day is highly, highly unusual and potentially quite uncomfortable. I suppose there are some guys out there that can handle it, but very few. So given that, I'm just going to treat this as a reality. Yes, pegging can absolutely bring out the aggressive and assertive side of a woman. It's awesome that you enjoyed that. It sounds like maybe you overdid it a bit with the new larger dildo from the way that you described that she did it so hard it was amazing. Why you were constipated, I have no idea. I have never heard of that reaction from pegging. But whenever a man experiences any difficulty during or after pegging, including pain, burning, constipation, diarrhea, painful bowel movements, obviously the smart thing to do is to lay off the anal play for a while and let your body get back to normal, which it sounds like what you did, which is excellent. To avoid constipation in general, just make sure you eat a lot of roughage in your diet, a lot of raw vegetables and salads and things like that. Again, no idea why you got constipated. Not even sure if that was a result of the pegging. It's hard to know. It might have been just a dietary or emotional thing. I think both of those can be very involved. Now, moving to the important part as far as why she's not into it anymore, that's a really good question too. Could be a lot of things. It could be she's afraid of causing you more difficulty because you've hooked up that difficult constipation thing for a week with the pegging. It could be that maybe she just played out that fantasy and she's done with it. Could be it was a lot of work and she's decided it was too hard. Neither of those last two sound likely from your description of her initial enthusiasm. And although you say nothing you can say, or nothing you say can get her back into it, you don't really tell me what you have said to her to try and get her to start pegging with you again. Sometimes when people say things like that, they've really actually only sort of hinted around about what they want, and when they got no response, felt rejected and dropped it. And as always, I recommend clear and open communication with your partner. So, not knowing whether you've done this or not, sit down with her away from the bedroom and explain to her very carefully and clearly how much you love this act between you and how much you really, really want to do this together once in a while again. Ask her if there's anything you can do to make it easier for her or more pleasurable. Perhaps there's an easier position for her that would be less work or one she enjoys more. Perhaps different toys designed more for her pleasure as well. A double-ended dildo, a vibe on her clitoris. Maybe the harness is uncomfortable, a better harness if she didn't care for the one that you guys have. Maybe it's even better cleaning out of yourself before play. Or if there's anything else that you haven't mentioned, you know, make sure you pull the string, so to speak, and find out if there's anything that's bothering her about pegging. And then once you guys have talked about that and figured out ways to deal with her objections or her issues, if she has any about them, then just ask clearly and calmly for what you want. It sounds like she was totally into it for a while. So I've got to think there's something there holding her back. And then a hint from the men who have spoken to this issue before in terms of just getting your spouse or partner to be more willing to give this to you as much as you would like to have it. If you make sure to rock her world sexually, she will be more likely to give you what you need and want. So make sure that that's happening as well. And good luck, sir. Tell us how it goes. Here's a previous email I received some time ago. It's a short one. How do I broach the subject of pegging with my partner? We have progressed so far that she knows it's an erogenous zone and rubs me there when she can reach me, but I'm not confident enough to suggest the pegging part. Where do I start? I directed this man to my article convincing her to try it. I wrote him a short email back and said, read this and then write me if I have any questions. And today, it was so sweet to get this another very short email. This is all he wrote. It worked. I got a good probing finger in me, and I loved it, but I still feel a little awkward when she does it fast. Thank you so much. And this guy said he wants to buy me lunch if I'm ever in his area, which is very sweet. I'm really happy for you, sir. And as far as feeling awkward when she does it fast, you need to ask her to slow down. When women do anal play on men, men discover what it's like to be penetrated and how it's often more pleasurable to have a lot of foreplay and go slow, which is kind of, if you think about it, what women are constantly complaining about when they're penetrated by men in just regular intercourse. So, yeah, this is what you're experiencing, is you're the penetrated one now. And so, yeah, it is much more pleasurable to have a lot of foreplay and go slow. Keep in communication with her. When you guys are playing this way, when she puts a finger inside you, tell her when it feels good. Tell her when what she's doing would feel better if she did it differently. And in this way, you're going to both learn what feels the best to you. Because in a way, the two of you are really learning how to fuck all over again with the roles reversed. So talk about it and have fun with it. Okay, another letter. I need advice from myself. I'm married to the love of my life and enjoy anal on both of us. I know I want her to peg me, but I can't get past my mental hang-ups, like the fear of someone finding out, or the fear of her thinking I'm gay. She is the one who introduced me to anal play, on me, so I know she's open, but I'm usually the one who asks for it now, so I'm not sure. Should I just have a few drinks and bring it up? Or forget about it. 3 years ago, if I heard about this, I would have been convinced any guy doing this is gay. However, I know better now. Best orgasms I could ever imagine. I want it bad, but I'm scared to ask her for it. Best left as a fantasy? Please help and thank you. Well, first of all, it's obviously not better left as a fantasy, or dude, you would not have written me. That much is obvious. Whenever anyone says, I want it bad, in regard to a sexual desire, the chances are good that the desire is not going to go away. Could you leave it as a fantasy? Sure. But do you really want to? No, you really want it. I can hear that. So let's take this apart a little bit, unpack it. The issue of trust and the issue of having some fear that if anyone finds out, these are the two most important hurdles that men who want pegging have to get past. There's a lot of fears around this. There's the example of a couple who get together, the boyfriend, girlfriend, or even if they're married, no matter how long they've been together, a lot of men have the fear that when they break up, there's a possibility she would go and tell all of his friends. Or they don't break up, she goes and tells all of his friends. And the example I got from a good friend of mine who helped me understand this phenomena is, okay, you know how people say guys talk about the sex they have with their partners all the time, with their friends, they like brag about it? He said, well, you know, men might joke about it, they might see a woman walking down the street and say, gee, I'd really like to do her. They might talk that way sexually, but not a lot of men actually sit there and talk about specific kind of sex they have with their wives or their partners. That's really not how they talk most of the time. So, okay, now you know the stereotype about women and how we talk to our friends about everything. Yeah, that one's true. That one's absolutely true. And men kind of instinctively know this. So it's a very scary thing to engage in pegging because they're pretty sure, or they're very fearful at least, that their partner is going to go tell the girlfriends, and then it's just a matter of time before everybody knows. And that can be a really scary thing, depending on where you live and what kind of friends you have. It's tough stuff for men, because they're very real fears. So where does that leave you? Well, I'm afraid you're just going to have to face your fears and ask for what you want, and I totally understand that that's easier said than done. I get that. First of all, if you haven't read the article on my website, Convincing Her to Try It, read that first. It's going to help you avoid making some mistakes in your approach with her. Like, you don't want to drink a lot and then show her a pegging porn movie, for example. Bad idea. But back to your letter for a little bit. You mentioned that you're the one who asks for it now, even though she introduced you to it. Here's my guess on that. I would guess that she senses your conflicted feelings about the whole anal play subject, because it probably comes through a bit in your play. No matter how great your orgasms are, there's a conflicted feelings because you're loving what's happening and you're having the best orgasms you've ever had. But I would bet that you probably aren't waxing poetic about it because you don't want her to think you're gay, because you have that inside you that it's you've got the fears which you expressed in your letter. So maybe she backed off because she thinks you don't like it as much as you might. She's sensing that conflicted part. Who knows what she's sensing? Maybe just that you have a little bit of a back off. You're not totally into it. My question to you would be, have you talked about it? How it feels? How great the orgasms are? How amazing it is? Or are you kind of holding back because you're afraid she's going to get concerned about the whole gay thing when she finds out how much you really like it? I'm thinking that that's what's going on. So information is always good at this point. That is one of the things that has helped many a woman find her way from being not a pegger to being a pegger. You can tell her you read up on prostate stimulation on the internet. You discovered why her finger in your ass feels so good that it's kind of like her G-spot. You can show her some articles. They're all over the internet as well as on my website. And when you're ready to approach her about the pegging, here's an important thing. Do it with as much confidence as you can possibly muster. You know, liquid courage is okay, but not too much, because you want to be able to communicate well with her. But here's my point about the confidence. Do not tell her you have this desire for pegging like it's some sort of disease you have. Tell her like it's this way cool thing that you want to explore with her and you're really excited about it. Show her my article about why I love pegging, if that's something you think that she might like. Show her one of my articles about how pegging's not gay if she expresses that concern. And if you're really brave, just let her listen to this podcast, right? Maybe. But overall, just stay calm. Don't get defensive. Just say what's real. Give her all the time she needs to get used to the idea. Be patient and don't pressure her. Those are all the basics that I tell people. Who knows how your wife will respond? She may be totally down for it right off the bat. I'm thinking she will, because pretty much any woman who introduces her man to anal play with her finger up his ass is already most of the way there. It's rare for a woman to be asked about pegging who has gone that far already and is into it that much that she would introduce it to him and then freak out about the gay thing. Some of them still do, because there's the whole dildo in the ass thing and the whole that it's too much like a penis and they you know, do their misconception thing. But I'm willing to bet that she will eventually agree to try it, even if she does freak out a little bit. And I don't think she will. It's just my guess. I hope she doesn't, for your sake. When she agrees to try it, because I'm betting she will, ask for her promise that she will not tell anyone and explain how important it is to you. Explain how much you need to be able to trust her not to tell anyone and to keep it a special thing that only the two of you share. And that's pretty much all you can do about that end of things, and just hope she keeps her promise. But just make her understand how important it is to keep it between the two of you. You know, there's younger people living in, I don't know what age you are, the guy who wrote the letter, but younger people living in, or I should just say young people living in more sex-positive areas of the country, or hanging around groups of more sex-positive friends, don't fear the reaction quite so much. They're much more open about their sexuality, and I think, more importantly, they don't really fear and freak out about the gay assumption. It's not seen as much of a negative as a negative, which is really nice. I mean, at these moments, I like to recall, and I've mentioned it a couple times before, the young couple who had told a couple of their friends, but not all of them, that this couple were into pegging, right? Until at a wedding reception during which she had a bit to drink, and she told all of their friends at the table how much he enjoyed pegging. So he said, yeah, that was sort of an outing. He was outed in that moment, and he hadn't really agreed to that, but he takes delight in relating that no matter what their response was at the moment, each and every man at that table has come to him privately and asked him about it in a serious manner, like wanting more information. But the reality is we don't all live in places that are sex positive like that or have friends who are so open-minded. And the misconception of pegging equals gay is still pretty pervasive. So coming out to your partner is one thing, and coming out to your community is something else entirely. I mean, what I would love to see is if people ever do find out, like a guy friend tells you he knows and calls you gay, if you said, so what if I am? I mean, that's what I like to see, and here's why. Because I really hate the way gay is seen as a negative in circles of many straight men. It drives me crazy. But that's just my little sex-positive dream, and hopefully you won't ever have to cross that bridge, and your wife will be pegging you wildly and will keep your secret. You know, everyone decides how much they're okay with other people knowing they enjoy pegging. It's a very individual call. And I don't see it the same as, like, coming out as being gay. You know, gender preference, you don't have to get public with what you do in the bedroom. It's a little different than which sex you prefer. That's something that people can see walking around in life and watching you walk around in yours. But when you're going to the market, nobody knows that you really love pegging, no matter who you're with. So no one has a responsibility to the pegging community to let other people know that they enjoy it. So reveal if you will and don't if you won't. It's your choice. And good luck in talking to your wife about it, and let us know how it goes. Okay, now I'd like to share something interesting with you. This is actually a milestone for me. I was actually paid to give someone advice for the first time. And the reason it's unusual is because I was paid to give someone advice that wasn't about pegging. What made it unusual was that this man actually approached me from the dating site that I'm on. So he knew nothing about my website or my particular proclivity. I mean, on this website, I do say, I'm out to this extent. I say I write erotica, I'm a sex blogger, I'm a podcaster, and I am a sex educator. But I don't mention my website or anything. So when he wrote to me, he told me he knew that he and I were not a match and we weren't suited for each other for a number of reasons. But this actually made it easier for him to approach me and choose me to talk with. It turns out he just really needed somebody he could bounce things off of and ask opinions of, who would speak not only to relationship issues, but could speak easily about sexual topics as well, because he has some questions about his sexuality. And so he got from my profile, from reading my profile, that I was an honest, caring, intelligent, and likely knowledgeable about sex person. So he took a risk and asked to talk with me and told me he'd pay me for my time. And I was initially suspicious of his motivations because I get approached a lot in a variety of ways. So I just set some very strong boundaries that we would not talk about me, my relationships, my sexuality, or any possibility of he and I getting together. And then I told him my price for an hour of phone conversation and how he could pay it on PayPal. I pretty much expected him to say no, but he surprised me, and he paid it rather quickly. He agreed to my boundaries, and we spoke the next day. And he's an extremely intelligent man who is quite introspective, and he was going through a tough time in his life for a number of reasons, which, of course, I won't share, but what really struck me was how grateful he was to have someone to talk with who could talk easily, openly, and non-judgmentally about sexuality. And I'm assuming that it helped to a certain extent that I have actually had a fair amount of therapy myself, and that I'm also a really introspective person. Relationships have always fascinated me, and the way that relationships interlock and interplay with the inner parts of people. And I'm always looking at the patterns and reasons why people make the choices they do in relationships or have the difficulties that they do. Most of the time I'm looking at my choices, my difficulties. I listen to Dan Savage all the time. And for those of you who never have, I'll put a link to his podcast. It's really, really good. And there are, of course, therapists out there who are good at what they do. And they're also beginning to be therapists who do not shy away from sexual issues and kink-related issues and alternative relationship structures. I met one of those just the other day. So that their clients don't have to feel like they need to hide those parts of their lives from the very person they should be able to tell all to. I mean, if you're going to a counselor, that's the whole point. So, I mean, I am not a trained counselor. I just happen to know a fair amount about what this man needed to hear. And he was really grateful for that hour I spent with him on the phone. And he said I gave him a lot of things to think about. And he gave me a few, too, subjects that I found myself researching after I hung up with him because of what he and I talked about, that I wanted to know more. And I don't know, after we hung up, I felt a little wistful. That's not quite the right word. I felt just really touched, not the crazy kind of touched, the emotional kind of touched, because I like to help people. I like to help them, especially, to find more pleasure in their lives. And sometimes that pleasure comes from letting go of something or communicating something difficult with your partner or conquering your fears and doing what needs to be done or being open maybe to a completely new experience. And, you know, really when it comes down to it, it seems like there's a lot of people out there that just need to be heard, ideally without judgment, when it comes to sexual issues. It doesn't seem like there's nearly enough people that are open to hearing about sexual issues. I mean, that's why the boards on Reddit, sex group, and other anonymous forums are so active all the time. That's why Dan Savage gets so many calls. That's why this really highly educated man, Francisco Ramirez, who I met at the Catalyst Con back in September, he started giving out free relationship, sex, and dating advice in New York City parks in 2008. And he has had lines for this advice ever since. You know, it's all about human connection. When everything else falls away, that's what's left there for me, is human connection and feeling heard. If we all tried to help each other a little more and listen to each other a little more and judge each other a little less, I think the world would be a better place. So you can follow me on Twitter at @Ruby_writer. I have a Facebook profile and a Facebook page, which you can click the little like button. You can subscribe to my blog. My podcast is available on iTunes as well as on my blog. Now, my blog is where you'll find all the links that I talk about in my podcast. You can send any and all questions and stories you have to ruby@peggingparadise.com. Thanks for downloading and listening. Have a great week, everyone, and happy pegging. This is Ruby Ryder. Until next week.